Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Get the knowledge you need to advance your mortgage practice quickly and efficiently from Jen Duplessis, America's Mortgage Mastery Mentor with over 37 years of experience and over $1 billion in lifetime fundings. Jen has been mentoring loan officers and realtors for over 15 years and speaking on stages across the globe. So settle in and get ready as Jen and her guests share their experience, passion, and strategies to help you crack the top producer code to reach new heights in your business. And now, here's your host, Jen Duplessis, Mortgage Mastery Mentor and head chick in charge of Kinetic Spark Consulting.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Mortgage Lending Mastery. I am so delighted that you've joined us today, and I want to say thank you for joining us today and spending a little bit of time with us as you're working out or working in your house listening to us these days. I really, really appreciate that, and I can't wait to talk to our guest today, and I know he has a lot of value to give to everybody, and that is Mike, and I want to make sure I got it, Sirocco, but I call him C-Rock, and that's what we know him as, so I don't even know your last name. I had to look it up and go, what the heck? It was so funny. But I want to welcome you, first of all, to the show. Thank you so much for taking time. I've been on your podcast, so thank you for reciprocating and being on mine as well.
Yeah, Jen, thank you so much for having me. I always start every show with gratitude that I go on because it's so important for me to really express that to people genuinely and let them know that I appreciate the opportunity to share. So I'm humbled that people want to actually hear my voice. And so thank you.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So I'm going to give you a quick version of his bio real quick, and then I'm going to tell you how we met, and then we're just going to dive in. And I can't wait to ask you a bunch of real fun questions. So Mike is the CEO of People Builders, Inc. and the powerhouse behind What Are You Made Of? The What Are You Made Of movement, which is what his podcast is as well. So we'll have the link in the episode notes so that you can, or in the show notes, so you can go there and subscribe to his podcast as well and listen in. He's a performance coach, author, dynamic speaker, visionary, and thought leader. He's been featured by Yahoo Finance as one of the top leaders to follow in 2020 and is on a mission to help people. He recently, or you're about ready to have your new book come out, right? It's coming out soon. I'm really excited about that. So I'm going to talk about that here in just a minute. But in addition to that, so much like me, he has like these two things that he was doing or is doing, you know, in the mortgage space. And of course, I've since left, but he's still doing both of those things. But he's also a very successful division manager with a national mortgage company. And, you know, he's done that a couple of times with one of his best friends. And so he runs a big branch or a big division. So you can tell us all about that as well. So now how we met is that we both were in a mastermind, you know, and I've been talking about masterminds for the last, I don't know, month or so on this podcast, you know, how important they are, you know, and it was my seventh mastermind to be part of. I don't know how many for you, Mike.
Well, real mastermind, like that's what I would call a real one there, probably second, but you know, I went to a lot that people said that that was a mastermind and it was somebody talking and you asking questions of them.
Well, because both of us got certified as mastermind leaders at that mastermind. So that was kind of cool. But we got to meet each other in Vegas right before Christmas and hang out for a couple of days, do some zip lining, which you're afraid of heights. So that was good for you. I'm just afraid. So it was just flat out afraid of anything that I don't have control over. So I'm a big, big control freak. And I know you are.
I just attacked it.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I was fine with it. I was fine with it. I had my little, you know, my little Superman thing the whole time. But so let's talk. I want to start just kind of going back because I know your dad was very influential in your life in, you know, really making you who you are today. So I'd like to talk about that first, and then we'll get into some of the fun things that you're doing now. So share with us a little bit about the story that you shared with us in Vegas.
Yeah. So I grew up in a broken home, like a lot of your listeners probably can relate to. And the every other weekend to my dad's house kind of thing, custody, child support battles, step-parents coming involved, a lot of conflict. And from the age of 8 to 11, I decided to live with my dad and his new wife. And my mom was heartbroken by it, but she allowed me to go. And which is cool about my mom, because my mom was like the type that like, hey, go do it. Like, you know, and put herself to the side. So for 3 years, though, there was a lot of turmoil, conflict going on between my step parents and my mom. And, you know, it just a mess, you know. And as a kid, you're like, you know, the only thing that the reason that they still have to communicate is because you're that link. So sometimes there's a lot of resentment that comes from it. And especially when a new step parent comes in, jealousy, or they have kids in the mix, which was the case here, then is their kid getting treated as good as you are? Like, just
there's constant
stuff.
Measuring and comparing. And
And if people aren't in the right frame of mind and taught and trained properly of how to handle things, communication and all that, they just don't respond properly. And so as a kid, a lot of that stuff was taken out on me. I was threatened a lot, abused, not physically, but mentally and emotionally. And after 3 years, I said, that's just enough, man. I mean, 11 years old, I was like, I got to get out of here. So I told my mom one day when I was coming back from her house on a weekend, and I used to get interrogated when I came home about what happened there.
Right. What'd you have for dinner? Was she this?
Did they say anything? Yeah, all this stuff, you know, and it was just a mess. I don't like, I look back on it and I like kind of laugh at it. It's kind of a joke, but as a kid, it was traumatic, you know? And so I told my mom on that ride home, I said, I got to tell you what's going on here. And she said, that's not ordinary. You shouldn't be dealing with that. Like, that's not healthy. She said, I can get you out of there. But if I do, I got to file court papers. And if I go through this, you need to stick to your guns. Like, you have to be stubborn. Mm-hmm. I took it as like, and I've always been called hard-headed and stubborn. And, you know, I talked about this to you before that, you know, the definition of stubborn has two words in it, perversely unyielding. And, you know, I look at that as stubborn is not a bad thing. Like most people think it's not the wrong thing when it's on the right thing.
Right.
And if you want something in life and you're perversely unyielding towards it, you're not going to quit. You're going to get it. You're going to make it happen. And that's so that I think about that all the time. And the other thing is, so when she filed those papers, I came home from school one day after waiting days for those papers to land. And my dad got them one day and I came home and he had them in his hand and he said, hey, go back to your room. And, you know, my dad was my hero. Like, you know, he was, you know, hard worker, had his own masonry business, big forearms, rough hands. And he always carried a wad of $100 bills in his pocket. And I always thought that was the coolest thing. Had a rubber band around it.
Yeah.
He used to show it off and flash it. And, you know, so when he came back after I was sitting on my bed for about 5 minutes, which probably felt like 5 hours, he came back and confirmed that I wanted to leave. And he just reminded me that my mom didn't have it that well, that they were poor and I had everything I needed there. Why would I want to leave? And, you know, it was kind of one of those things when I was going through some of the conflicts and or he was fighting with his wife or something, he would kind of wink at me and give me a thumbs up behind her back, kind of like, hey, man, everything's gonna be all right. Just let her ride it out. And as a kid, I'm like, dude, when's it going to ever stop? Like, when are you going to do this thing you're promising me with whatever the wink and the thumbs up is? And it just never happened. So I confirmed that I wanted to leave. I didn't get in discussion with him because I remember she said, stick to your guns. And the reason she told me to stick to my guns is people will try to talk you out of things that you believe to match their own agenda. And I just remembered that. So, and then also, you know, I was scared to death, by the way, of what was going to happen after this. It's like things that were going through my head as a kid, like, man, am I going to have to live here now? Like for a while. And like, which I did. So he said, okay, if that's the case, he takes that wad of $100 bills out, peels one off, crumpled it up and threw it at me and said, you're going to need this when you're living on the streets with your mother one day then. And you know, that triggered something in me. Like that lit a fire. Like I was like, you son of a gun. Like I was like thinking in my head, like, there's no way. I couldn't even believe it was happening, first of all, but I was like, there's no way that I'm going to need that money. And secondly, I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to make a difference in this world. I'm going to show people that you can go through something like this because I thought it was an ordinary situation. I thought every kid goes through this and that when they see this, I'm going to make a difference by showing them what you can accomplish going through that. So anyway, for my whole life, 30 years or so now, I've been living off this little spark that happened. And 2 years ago, I really became aware of what it was. I had to do a self-analysis, which I'll get into towards the end of the podcast, the ending on this and how I got into that. But that's what triggered this whole Rocket Fuel movement and the Rocket Fuel book and all that. So.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, when you and I were starting to talk and I was hearing your story and you were hearing more at my story and we both talk about rockets and launch and sparks and propelling and momentum. And there, you know, it's like all these things. It was amazing to find, you know, my lookalike. Well, not look alike, but you know, my soul.
You're a lot prettier than I am.
Yeah. Well, thanks. But my soulmate in this process, because, you know, it is something that, you know, can affect you profoundly. So let's talk about that. You know, so you had the spark in, and I don't want to go to all the way to the end. We'll save that to the end. But, you know, you had this spark that said, you know, I'm going to show him because that's really what that spark is all about. So where, how did you get in? How long have you been in mortgage lending now?
2006.
Okay.
I was a real estate agent before that.
Okay. And what did you do before that? What did you go to school for and decide to, you know, become?
I went to school to play football, but okay. I never was big enough to play pro football. So then I went to the Purdue School of Business in Maryland. It was called Salisbury State University. Yeah. That's not steak, yep. That's state.
And I told you my son was looking at it to play football himself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went there and a bunch of my buddies from high school went there. So it was like an extension of high school.
Yeah.
With some new girls. So,
yeah, right.
But I got off track there. So I didn't drink until I was 18, went to senior week in Ocean City. And then I got to college and I was like, holy cow, this is like Disneyland or Disney World.
Yeah, right.
And I just got off track and I started worrying about like meeting other people's agendas rather than my own, worrying about what people say and think and trying to be cool and started drinking and drugs. And, you know, I was a functioning party guy in college. I got great grades but I got off track, man. I started chasing girls and the party instead of worrying about setting myself up properly and then having like girls chase me instead.
Yeah, right. That
like,
was
I mean,
the thing.
Like, I don't mean like one night stand kind of thing. I mean like girls chasing you to have a selection of a spouse, you know, a great selection of spouse that somebody's really they with values and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one thing if anybody's young listening, guys, I mean, you know, get yourself right first, man. Get your foundation set. The ladies will wait and the right ones will be there when you're ready. And luckily though, Jen, I mean, I'm very fortunate. My wife's name's Jen too. Right. Very fortunate that I met my wife in Salisbury because she's an angel and she got me straightened out. When I met her, I committed to her and everything else just fell to the wayside. Like I wasn't interested in doing all those other things.
Right. Well, and it's a maturity level that comes with it, you know, too. I think that's part of it. So then you just kind of bopped into real estate and then you came over to the other side into mortgages.
Well, before that, I was in home sales doing water treatment systems for homes, and I did that for 9 years. I was in home handling objections, closing the deal that night, all that stuff. And that built me like that, you know, I was really,
like
really good.
Knock on the door stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could handle anything. And so my wife and I moved to Connecticut for 6 months to try to open up a business up there, and we could have done it, but the weather, the winter weather and all that, her missing her family, it just didn't work. So we moved back and that's when I got into real estate.
Yeah.
And my best friend, Chris, who is one of my partners now, was my mortgage guy.
Yeah.
And I'd send him all my clients. And then I got tired of showing people houses. I just didn't like going around doing that. So I said, you know what, let me work with you. And he's like, no. He didn't want it on his shoulders in case I failed.
Right, right.
But he should have known better because he knew the kind of guy I was. And right. I drove an hour and a half from Delaware, lower Delaware to Annapolis each way, hour and a half each way for 5 years straight.
Yeah.
Leaving at 6 a.m, getting home at 9, grinding, busting my butt. And I did that for 06 to 11, 5 years before we decided to start opening branches.
Yeah. And now you have your branches and you've got a big team. And so, you know, it's funny because, you know, I'm sure that anyone who's, you know, listening can understand this too, is that, you know, how many times have you just been successful and yet you feel something's missing? There's always this something's missing. And that's what it was for me, you know, after all the success I had, et cetera, was like something's missing. For me, it was, you know, helping others be able to have this great quality of life and not, you know, be married to the business instead of married to a human being. But for you, you know, I imagine there was something a little bit different for you. So what was the tipping point, you know, in your success as a loan officer where you said, you know what, there's more to give. There's something missing. I want more. What was that tipping point for you?
Well, I think a couple things. One, I've always felt that I was destined to do something great, like impact, not for myself or ego, but for impacting people. Mm-hmm. I think when I was 3 to 4 years old, it came from my mom telling me that I was going to be a leader. I'm inspiring. I didn't even know what those words meant. And she kept filling my head with this stuff.
Yeah.
And now my mom is an awesome person. We call her Crazy Mom. My kids call her Crazy Mom. That's how they know her. She didn't know her any different, but we call her Crazy Mom because she's just wild and crazy. She doesn't give a crap what anybody thinks.
Yeah.
She does her thing. And so the other mom, my wife's mom, is regular mom. And so that's what they call them. But the thing is that she taught me at a young age that I'm, you know, I'm a leader. So I started like everything I do is I'm programmed that way.
Yeah.
Well, when I'm in the mortgage business, I'm doing great being a loan officer and what have you. And I see other people around me struggling, like to make a call, to break bad news to people. And I was just like, give me the phone. And then even the manager sometimes that worked with me, they wouldn't get on the call. They would try to talk it out. And I'm like, dude, just get on the phone, like hit the phone, handle the problem. So I got frustrated with that. And I'd also see people with have setbacks and disappointments, bad appraisals, inspections, people shopping them, you know, and then it would ruin their day, week, or even their career, some of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're They're off kilter. And then everything around them is off kilter. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just like, this is crap. Like I gotta show people like you can become unstoppable if you just like take all that stuff and use it as fuel. And that's will go into later on what we'll talk about with Rocket Fuel. But I just got sick of that. I'm like, come on, man. This is like, so when we decided to start opening branches, I talked to my partner, Chris, and he came in one day and said, my wife is ready to move. Cause we had to move to, you know, a different location to do it. And I said, all right, let's do it. So we went to the owner and told him our plan. And he said, guys, I know if I don't do this, you're going to leave, but I think you're going to fail. I don't think you have what it takes, but I'm going to let you do it because I know you'll leave otherwise. And of course, that's reminded me of my dad throwing that $100 bill at me.
Here's your $100. Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'll show you. Yeah. Yeah. You have no idea, pal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we went out and did it. And come to find out after, I don't know, 7 years of doing it, we got to just over 10 million in revenue and annual revenue with the mortgage company. Had 6 branches. That owner ended up doing some things that weren't right and money went missing from us and other people. And we found out, and I had to take 22 employees and just move them to this new platform, Nations Lending, where we are now. But that's another episode. There was millions of over $1 million. Okay. Mm-hmm. That we're talking about here that we should have had.
Yeah.
And when that happened, I could have went legal. I could have lost my crap and just, you know, but I decided that, you know what, let me rally myself. Let me rally my team and make this our battle cry and make it the reason we're successful rather than going through all that other stuff, because the law doesn't move fast enough for me anyway.
Yeah.
And so we did that, and we went from starting out again, all fresh, 4 million a month to 32 million a month in 2 years. And, you know, so that's a little bit of the story, but there's just been episodes all my whole life of setbacks, disappointments, letdowns, things that I've done stupidly. And I've just been able to just take it all and then put it in my tank instead of my trunk.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of my favorite sayings that you said, you know, is put in your tank and make it the fuel, you know. And that, of course, you and I've talked about, you know, is why my company is called Kinetic Spark. It's, you know, movement and the spark, right? The spark to get you to move, to take action, to not, you know, sit back and all that. So what has been to date, and this doesn't have to be in the mortgage space, it can be in what you're, you know, also doing on, you know, moving forward and going on the stage and becoming an author and a speaker and all that. What's been the best decision that you've made for your career to date, whatever career you want to talk about?
Well, there's a lot of them. Obviously, there's a lot of moments where I decided to go out on our own. There's
to leave
the real estate and go into mortgages. But I will tell you, the one main one was when I decided that, like, I'm not reaching for my potential. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe that we're all put on this earth with unlimited potential to achieve, mm-hmm. not physical abilities. Obviously, we're limited in physical abilities because this is our vehicle that we have here. But our spirit is into our vehicle. And then from there, we can create whatever we want. Mm-hmm. Now, I think in life, we have the choice to just try to get by and survive. We have the choice to build or create, or we have the choice to destroy.
Yeah.
And so every day I'm going through my day thinking about what I'm doing. Is it creating and building, or is it destroying? Because I'm not just going to just try to survive. That's not happening.
Yeah. So many people do though, but that's a key point that you're making, you know, C-Rock, is that, you know, so many people just go through the motions, and that's so frustrating for people like you and I to see.
Well, here's the problem. So anytime you just try to survive, you don't.
Yeah.
And that goes towards the destruction.
Yeah.
So you have basically two choices. You're either destroying or building, creating or destroying. There's no in between. So it makes it really simple. I'm a simple guy. I like to make decisions based on one way or the other.
Yeah.
And so when I'm thinking, talking, and acting, is it going towards creating and building or away from it?
Yeah.
But before, like, there's a one little other part, you need to know what you're trying to create and build too. You got to get clear, right? We know that. So that's what I've always focused on. So the best decision I think I've ever made is when I decided, you know what?
There's more to you.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's naive of us to think that we're put here with any limitations from our creator. Like, I believe that the creator is all powerful, omnipotent. And for us to think that we were put here with any limitations of what we can imagine, like, if you have it in your brain, there's a reason it came into your brain. And that makes it real once you start acting on it and talking about it and doing. So that's the biggest thing, turning point, when I decided to go on this mission that I'm on right now, starting the podcast, the book, and then really going out and making an impact and hiring people like Richard Dolan. I don't know if you know Richard Dolan, but I just, you know, worked with him for the last year. And this year I really re-upped with him big time. And he's, you know, the performance coach for LeBron James, the Lakers, the Heat, many brands, big brands. And I want to be his protege, even though he's not that much older than me. I just want to be his little guy that learns and absorbs as much as possible from him.
Well, and I think that speaks to your leadership skills. skills as well, because, you know, all of us need coaches. You know, I have a big major coach, you know, out in the world too, who's just incredible. And, you know, it's important that we have mentors around us and coaches and people that lead us so that we're not on our own and we don't see the blind spots, and, you know, that they can encourage us and, you know, let it just continually help us grow. I think that's pretty key. You know, and when we talk about leadership too, is, you know, one of the questions I want to ask you is, what do you think is your biggest strength as a leader?
You're giving me like the biggest. I got a few. It's hard to answer just one.
Okay, I'll
just
so throw what this. Are some of your strengths as a leader?
Yeah. So because I like to talk about, they got to be combined with other things. So obviously really having big think, like I'm a visionary. I can think of big things, even if people around me don't believe it. And I'll even think of things that may seem impossible at first to me, but I start to believe first before I see it.
Yeah.
And I've seen wonders with that. But the other thing is I'm perversely unyielding, stubborn, like I talked about. Like when I find something that I know is the right thing and want to do it and help people and whether, like, I'm just, that word's strong, man. Perversely unyielding. Unyielding by itself would be powerful.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I think that's the key, man, because, you know, I just don't quit, man. I might move direction a little bit. You know, if you think about a bucket of water being poured onto a concrete surface and has cracks in it and some obstacles, and that water just goes down and it hits obstacles and then it just moves around a little bit until it finds its opening and where it needs to go. You know, that's like something I always think about, like, okay, we got a roadblock. Okay, what do we got to do? Go around it, through it, over it. What do we do? It's going to be solved. There's a solution to the problem.
Yeah.
It's just,
that says you're a great problem solver. I mean, that's, you know, is the ability to solve problems, you know, and I think that's key, you know, for people that are looking up to you, that you're empowering to help them learn how to make decisions themselves and show them the way, you know, that to find out how you think and how you make those decisions. And I think that's pretty powerful, you know, especially in a team environment. I think that's, you know, something that's really good. So let's talk about your book. So Rocket Fuel's coming out and you're going to have some big hoop to do. Did you just do it? Because I know you were going to do it, but we have conflicts. I wasn't able to go. I just can't remember when it is.
No. So we were going to launch February 7th, but we're having a little delay right now because, you know, I'm not a perfectionist, but when I want something a certain way, I'll keep going until I get it. Right.
Don't do it half-assed, right?
So I mean, our friend Chip has been going through the book, and I would have met Chip and had him do it earlier, but I just met him. So,
right. So he's doing some editing and
Shout out to Chip Hopper. He's going through it and just making sure that it's, you know, I already have the content there. It's all done. It's just making sure reading through it and going through and changing some things here or there to really, cause look, Grant Cardone wrote the foreword, and that to me, you know, the concept's there, it's validated, because he talks about how it's affected his life and his business and how he's implemented it. But the product itself needs to be up to those standards to me.
Yeah.
So if I have to delay it a little bit for that reason, that's why. And then the launch party in South Beach is March 11th.
There you go. So you've changed. Oh, I know. Okay. Yeah. So you've changed the date to, because I, of course we were all available March 11th because we're going to be at Secret Knock.
So 10X Growth Con is
changed, to be honest with you, because I want to be there.
The 10X Growth Conference is the 12th through the 14th. So we're doing it the night before it starts.
Yeah. Which is smart.
And, you know, it's another thing. Like, I know some people that just are hearing about me now or see the stuff that's out on social media that, you know, the following that I have and all that, like, to me, I'm just an ordinary guy. And to be honest with you, as possible, like, I'm blown away by the progress that we've made as a team. And the fact that I'm having a launch party, you know, I'm from a little town, like a launch party in South Beach, like leading up to GrowthCon, it just blows me away sometimes, but it's just the power of believing before you see and thinking really big.
Yeah, it is. And I love it. I love it. So what's on your bucket list that you haven't checked off yet? What's going to be happening? I mean, obviously you're going to have you're writing your book. So that's sort of, I've written a book, you know, I'm going to have a launch party. That's great. But where is the future for you now? What are you looking to accomplish in, you know, in your bucket list now that, you know, you're sort of pivoting in non-COVID, but you're making some pivots in your life. Yeah.
Well, I'll say three things. One is I'm going to work with high profile celebrities and sports people and help coach them. Mm-hmm. To get them out of setbacks. And, you know, you get people like Tiger Woods, for example, is a great example of he wasn't by himself. There's somebody was there coaching him through that mess that he made for himself.
Oh yeah.
And that's so inspiring, and what he did and how he came back, even despite people saying he was done, and came back and won the Masters. And, you know, like people like that, I want to be that hero for them that steps in when they think that they've lost everything and help them recover. So that's one thing. Two, I got a tech product that we're working on right now. I partnered with a guy named Jared Yellen, who's a fantastic dude, that I believe this product is going to have such a big impact. And, you know, it's going to be multi-billion dollar company. And so I'm excited about that. And then the other thing would be the fact that next week, I'm actually going out to hang out with Steve Sims.
Steve,
so he's known as the Real Life Wizard of Oz and all that. But something intrigued me about him. He thinks big like I do. He's gotten people that have a lot of money to go and do some wonderful bucket list items and, you know, crazy stuff. So I thought to myself, like, I got to get around this guy because I want him to rub off on me.
Yeah.
And I think that with his big think, and then you add in the mix of our masterminds,
right?
There's some like masterminds that have never been done before that I can think of that would be just like, people will not ever forget them.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of stuff that goes through my head. I don't want to just do normal masterminds. Like I want to do something that just blows people away.
Yeah.
So I got to get around people that know how to do those kind of things and make those
good. I have some suggestions for you. We're masterminding again.
Awesome. I love it.
There we are, masterminding again.
Yeah. So that's that, but that's how I think. Like I got to get around him because he's got that and I can mix it with this and then it can become this. And
right. You know, and one of the reasons that I wanted you on the show, and, you know, I mean, a lot of what you're talking about obviously fits for my other podcast, Success to Significance, Life After Breaking Through Glass Ceilings. But one of the reasons I wanted you in the mortgage piece of this is that I talk so much about the fact that, you know, we're in the mortgage space and a lot of people, and we have real estate agents who listen to this podcast as well, but we're in these spaces and we tend to just sort of go along and sort of, you know, move along every day and not look at all these other opportunities that we have for us. And, you know, you're an example of someone who said, you know, look, I'm in the mortgage business, but there's so much more that I could be doing. I'm an example of it. I took the same path you're taking, have already done it and been there, but I also took other paths, you know, investing in real estate so that I could make the transition out of lending without having a dip in any income, right? And that was my path. The whole purpose here is to help people understand that, you know, mortgage is a vehicle for, you know, we are paid. Well, I'm not anymore, but paid per transaction pretty heavy. I mean, obviously real estate agents make more than we do, but we're paid pretty heavily on our widget that we sell. And it's, what are we doing with that widget? You know, what are we doing with that money that we're earning? And I see so many people, in fact, I saw this post and this drives me nuts. I saw a post on Facebook saying, you know, in a group that said, you know, consumer spending is higher and this, that, and the other. And somebody posted and said, how many of you think that it's because we're making a killing and we're spending more money? And so what have you bought? Right. And it was the comments were, we bought a boat. I bought a $20,000 watch. I bought this, I bought that. And I'm looking at these people and saying, well, they're not doing $100 million a year. You know, there's a problem. There's a disconnect here that when the volume drops, what's going to be left, right? And so I hope that everyone who's listening is understanding what I'm trying to say. And I want your feedback on it too, is that yes, you can have the monetary things. That's great. But there's so much more to life than what you're doing in this business. And you need to be looking forward and have some binoculars on, you know, looking forward to what is life after you have this career, however long it will be. And hopefully it's a long career like I had, you know, 35 years. Maybe your career is only going to be 10 years. But to use the income that you earn from this industry to create massive, massive impact on your own life and the life of others is something that I feel we're lacking in both of these industries. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I go like my mentor Grant talks about the 40-40-20 rule.
Yep.
And you know, 40 for taxes, 40 for investing, and 20 live off 20.
Yeah.
And so what I took for this opportunity, this, you know, this period of time where we're having a great run here.
Yeah.
To try to work with my employees to really understand money and financial literacy and help them understand that, look, you don't know how long this is going to go. Don't take it for granted. But the other thing is that taking that money, like what I did personally, I'll just speak for myself. I took money and invested in certain things, but also businesses. I'm taking this opportunity to invest in other businesses while I can.
Yep.
Right. With money that I'm not used to having, because obviously we've all made more money.
Instead of
Invest in myself.
Yeah. And instead of
instead of blowing it for sure. Like I haven't bought anything. Like I go on trips and the trips always have something to do with investing in myself, being around big name people. So I invest in myself to have access to people, invest in myself for knowledge and mentorship. And then I take the rest of the money and I'm putting it into businesses that I'm opening that have huge upsides. And that's what I'm trying to take this opportunity to do. Real estate's going to come soon as well, which I haven't invested in any real estate this year, but
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
well, I mean, it obviously is going to be coming because of forbearance issues and foreclosures. And, you know, I think that, I mean, while the market's hot, we're not experiencing that, but it will be coming. The longer that we're in COVID, the longer this is going to happen. And yeah, it will be coming. Well, you know, we've been investing quite heavily in the last year in real estate, but we do something very quirky, very different. Don't want to go into it right now. So we've probably bought another 7 or 8 properties in the past year, just because, you know, this is the time for us to be doing it. But, you know, and so what I'm trying to express here is that, you know, success is not just the identity of being a loan officer, being a real estate agent, is to explore beyond that, explore the opportunities that you have available to you because you earn so much money in this industry. While others are losing money and don't have jobs, the last thing that we want to be doing is dedicating all of our money into accumulation of things. I've been through 8 of these upturns and downturns in my entire financial career. And one thing I learned is I did it once. I said, oh, let's buy everything. And then I said, oh God, no, can't do that. So I'm just stressing, you know, that there's so much out there for you. So write a book, start a podcast, invest in businesses, invest in real estate, invest in yourself so that you never, ever have to rely on any one industry to survive. And that will help you from having so many setbacks. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I bought this watch I have on right here back in 2012, I think it was. And I think it cost me $7,500.
Yeah.
That was a big purchase for me. And
yep, we all have one thing.
And I've had the same watch. I have no interest in getting another watch. I buy stuff that can multiply money.
Yeah.
And that cannot be taken away from me. And that's the stuff that I try to focus on now. And it's made a difference. Now, what most people are doing, they're creating more bills for themselves, more payments, more. And that's when, you know, I learned my lesson too. Like I've been there before and I don't want to ever, I have not, matter of fact, I've lowered my monthly
expenses.
Like fixed expenses through this period, like on purpose. And so I'm proud that I learned my lesson from back in the day doing that.
Yeah, right.
But
well, we all have to go through it because, you know, I mean, it's pretty cool when you get, you know, a big chunk of money in this industry and you go, oh, well, now I can do all those things I wanted to do until you learn, you know, there's a downturn too. So we have to be, you know, ready for that. So what would you like to leave with everyone as we finish up our time here now? What would you like to leave with everyone, you know, as far as your business goes or in the mortgage industry, the real estate industry or life in general, what would you like to leave everybody with? And so, I know you're going to finish your story. So,
yeah. So when I was 11, I moved back with my mom. There was a guy named George that she married. And George was a really quiet guy until you got him talking about something that he was passionate about, like baseball, hunting, fishing, football, something like that. He'd be at a party. He'd sit on the couch and not say anything. And then somebody'd say something about one of those things and he'd jump up. He had this real deep voice, like, and he would just sound loud. And some people got scared when he jumped up and started talking. But, and he was always hard on us, not physically, but hard on us. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Like you do good things happen. Bad things happen. He taught me to read a lot and explained to me when you read that you need to look up words because that's why you don't finish books because you just read something that you didn't understand and then you just lost interest.
Yeah.
And so start looking up words and definitions. And that picked up when I met Grant as well, by the way, because Grant's big on that as well.
Yeah.
And so he passed away in January, 2019, suddenly of a heart attack coming out of the woods hunting. And something happened 2 weeks after that, where I just like, that's where I did that really self-analysis of my life of trying to figure out why, no matter what happens to me, no matter what setbacks, letdowns, this, why do my graphs keep going up? What is it? There's something going on. And what I found was that anything that was coming my way that would stop me normally or stop most people or slow them down, I was converting it into rocket fuel. Mm-hmm. I wasn't just getting back to where I was before the incident. I was going way past it. And so I described that as rocket fuel because rocket fuel pushes you out into outer space away from gravitational pull and suppressors that are pulling you down. And 2 weeks after he passed, my brother Casey and I were talking and like, man, I just felt something this week, like a power, like this passion. And I know what it was. And I don't expect people to believe me. I don't care if they believe me. I'm just telling you what happened.
Right.
George's passion and spirit came into us. And I started writing like a maniac. And I wrote and said, look, you know, look, the world better look out now. Like I got this energy, this superpower. And so that's when this thing took off. And that was in January 2019. So 2 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
So 2 years I've been on this mission and the graph, instead of going gradually up, which is a good graph, anytime you're looking at a line graph, it just started a trajectory like a rocket ship.
Yeah.
And it started going straight up. And I'm like, I got to bottle this stuff. When you become aware of something you're doing that works and you're aware now, you can actually throw gasoline on it. everything changes. And then I felt like I had to get it out to the world. So that's why I wrote the book, Rocket Fuel, Convert Setbacks, Become Unstoppable. Grant Cardone wrote the foreword. It's available at mikecrock.com/book. mikecrock.com/book. Go check it out. Go grab a copy for you, friends, family, coworkers. Get a bunch of them. It will change lives, I promise you. That was the intention behind writing this book, is to just create unstoppable people.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, that's why it's so fun to hang around you. You know, it's just contagious. And, you know, it's just, I love being around you. And I'm so thankful that we had the opportunity to meet in our mastermind. And, you know, there's just so much more that you have out there. And, you know, and you're just starting. That's what's so great about it. I mean, you're young, you're starting, right? There's so much that you have that you have. And I'm so glad that you had your breakthrough early on in life, you know, early.
Well, thank you. But with that, though, being said, I feel like I've wasted a lot of my life, where if I could have known this earlier, but the thing is that you can't regret. But what I look at is, now I don't know how long I have. My window is definitely shorter than if I would have started even earlier.
Oh yeah.
So you have a different perspective of this. I think I got to move with urgency, like massive urgency right now, because I want to squeeze as much as I can in this window that I have left on this planet.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because those are some of the words that I used when I had my breakthrough. I didn't have mine until I was in my 40s, but it was like, I have to get out there. I have to tell people about this. I have to share with people. Please, please, please don't live your life like this. Please listen to me. I just want to share, you know, and it is funny when your mess becomes your message. It's always like that with everyone. It's the same with Grant. It's the same with, you know, my coach, you know, and I'm in Grant's program too, but I'm saying that, you know, it becomes our message. And, you know, so when people are willing to stick their neck out and share their message, listen, because there's something there for everybody. There's absolutely something there for everybody. So, Mike, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. So much thank for you. Sharing this. And I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to hopefully get down there. You know, we'll see what happens, but hopefully get down there and be part of that with you. You know, awesome. As you launch your book. And congratulations on all that you've accomplished. It's very, very wonderful to see someone who's accomplishing as much as you are and really putting the time and energy and effort into accomplishing, instead of standing, leaning back and waiting for the world to come to you. So way to go.
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate that. It means a lot.
Thank you. Okay, everybody. So thank you again for listening in. If you're brand new, welcome to our community. We're so thankful that you're here. And if you've been with us for a long time, for 6 years, oh my gosh, I cannot believe it. For 6 years, thanks so much for the patriotism that you give to me. And you know, I really appreciate the comments I get almost daily from everyone saying that they're just enjoying the podcast. So thank you. Please go give us a great rating, write us a review. And as always, if there's a topic or a person you want to hear from, email us at support@kineticsparkconsulting.com. And we will get that person on or talk about that subject for you so that we can continue to help you grow your business to new levels. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to hear more sales tips, ideas, strategies, and tactics to help you with your personal and professional growth to multiply your results in record time. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Wanting more beyond the podcast? Join our Mortgage Lending Mastery membership community, where you will find extended interviews with our favorite guests, weekly training, tips, and insider secrets. Fireside chats with Jen, free content, meet, share, and collaborate with other members, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about this exclusive content. Mortgage Lending Mastery is an Industry Syndicate charter podcast. Industry Syndicate is the first podcast network specifically for the mortgage and real estate industries. Get the Industry Syndicate app in the App Store or Google Play today.
The more hands you shake, the more money you make. Get your mini website and smart business card. One unique C card with unlimited possibilities that brings you new contracts, new clients, and the money you deserve. In this lifetime deal, be one of the first to get all the current and future functions for the one-time investment of only $299. No tech skills required. We take care of every step for you. Great concierge service and lifetime support. Don't risk losing your only chance. Take action today. It's time to ditch the paper business card. Don't wait. Go to getccard.com.